From new patients faced with an empty lobby and no idea where to find their therapist, to clinicians with a session running overtime and the doorbell ringing, some of the most anxiety-ridden moments of a therapy appointment happen before a session even starts. This episode's sponsor, The Receptionist for iPad, helps you tackle some of that pre-appointment apprehension and anxiety. The Receptionist for iPad is an easy-to-use digital client check-in system that helps your visitors check in securely to their appointments and notify their practitioners of their arrival via SMS, email, or your preferred channel. No more confusion, endless lobby checking, or having clients sign in on paper logbooks. It can even help you upgrade and update your demographic information for your clients as well, and even validate parking. Start a 14-day free trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up.
Hey everyone, you are listening to another episode of the All Things Private Practice podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Cassell. I'm joined today by Gordon Brewer, who's an LMFT at Tennessee, a private practice owner, a coach, speaker, also the host of the Practice of Therapy podcast, and about 90 miles away from me. And today, we are going to talk about how to start a podcast, how to monetize a podcast, but we're also going to talk about struggling behind the scene with things that come up in life, because Gordon and I both have talked on his podcast openly about some of the struggles we're experiencing. And I think that is just unbelievably validating and normalizing for people listening. So Gordon, thanks for coming on and making the time today.
Well, it's my pleasure, Patrick. I've been looking forward to this.
I know. I've been thinking about it since you and I met in Nashville, and it feels like forever ago. And we both just got busy, which is like pretty standard in the entrepreneurial space. So
yes.
Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and tell us a little bit about your podcast, because it's a really good one. And it's been around for a while. It's super helpful for people who are in the private practice space. And I think that for a lot of people, one of the first private practice podcasts that they probably started listening to.
Yes. Well, thanks. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been, as far as the podcast goes, I've been doing my podcast since 2017, which when I, in retrospect, I'm thinking, that's a really long time. And then, you know, just kind of, yeah. You know, for most podcasts, I mean, there's this thing called pod fading where people will start a podcast with good intentions, but they don't really keep it up. And been around since 2017 with the Practice of Therapy podcast. I've got a second podcast called the Kindness and Compassion podcast. And to be a little bit vulnerable, I haven't put the time and effort into that as I had hoped to, but it's still in existence. So, I mean, it's not as regular, but so I'm a marriage and family therapist. I have a small group practice in Kingsport, Tennessee. So Patrick mentioned we're about 90 miles apart. So we're in the northeast corner of Tennessee in a small metropolitan area called the Tri-Cities. And my practice consists of six clinicians, including myself, plus one admin person. And we're kind of a general practice in that we see a lot of different things, but my work primarily has been with couples and men struggling with sex addictions and those kinds of things. And so, yeah. And so I've been a therapist for, oh gosh, over 20 years now. It's started out like most folks in the agency world, working for a nonprofit, worked with at-risk children and youth and their families and in-home therapy and all of that kind of thing. So kind of a typical journey in that way. And then in 2016, I decided that I noticed that people were starting to kind of contact me just a little bit about starting a practice. And I realized that when I went into private practice, there was little or nothing. When I first went in, of course, I'm dating myself. I started my private practice, I guess, in earnest around 2005, 2006. And there was very little stuff back then on doing how to do a private practice. But I started listening to some podcasts, and there were a few out there. We mentioned, you know, Melvin Selling the Couch and, you know, Joe Sanok's Practice of the Practice, and a few others were out there. And I was listening to them, and I was thinking, you know, this would have been helpful stuff for me early on. And I thought, well, you know, I know some of this stuff, so why not start a podcast? And so I did, and just kind of happened into it, thinking, okay, this sounds fun. I'll try this for a while. And it really started to get some traction. And so really kind of has grown from there. And as you know, Patrick, I started the PsychCraft Network last year, which Patrick's a part of that network with this podcast, and really just to help other people really just connect and network around just this whole media and being of support to each other. We're thinking about monetizing things and, you know, just helping people, you know, and that's really my main goal, and what I take the most delight in is just being able to help people find resources, help them solve problems, help them, you know, navigate this kind of whole entrepreneurial private practice world and really kind of reap the benefits of it.
Love that. So yeah. It sounds foundationally like all of the things that you have dipped your hands into or your creative interests have been foundationally around helping and supporting. And
yes,
when you say 2017 for podcasting, and we're halfway through 2023, more than halfway.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've been consistently putting that podcast out for almost 7 years. And I think that's pretty remarkable, because I think you hit the nail on the head where, you know, people start in and they fade. And one thing that I see as the biggest struggle area, it's consistency. Being able to consistently put episodes out. And that doesn't mean like I have a weekly podcast. I think a lot of us do. But even if you decide starting out, like I'm going to have a monthly podcast or every other week, but to make sure it's coming out consistently, because your listeners and their behavior, they get conditioned to kind of expect that episode to come out. And if you're not delivering it like that, it's very easy to lose traction. It's very easy to say, oh, this is kind of a waste of my time. And I think a lot of people also struggle when the numbers aren't there immediately without the recognition or acknowledgement that podcasting kind of starts as a passion project. I don't know if you always go in, like you should go into it with a plan to monetize, but it takes time to build that audience, to build that following, to build up the ability to monetize and gain sponsorship. So how long would you say it took you to start seeing consistent numbers and followings and downloads when you started out?
Yeah, it's that's a good question. I probably, you know, when I first started out, I really kind of did it with the attitude, okay, let's see what happens with this. And, you know, when I first started, I wasn't all that consistent with it, but I was just putting out here and there. But I would say after about 3 years into it, and you really kind of see, it's like I think most anything is in kind of the entrepreneurial world, the people that are successful, or as I like to say, and you said it too, is persistent and consistent with it. You just keep at it and you keep at it. And eventually it gets some traction and it just kind of, it's then exponential from there. And so that's kind of what I found is I started out, you know, just a few, you know, a few hundred downloads per month or so. And then as I started getting more consistent with it, and getting more and more content out there, it just took some traction. So I would say, you know, which is kind of typical of thinking about the parallels to private practice, is it really takes about 2 years to get established, I think. And then once you do that and you get those that momentum, then things just kind of open up and you really, I was really surprised that there were sponsors that were contacting me. I wasn't having to reach out to them. They wanted to advertise on my podcast because the one thing about podcasting is it's still relatively, as compared to other media, it's a relatively new media. It's really, I think in the last 2 years and certainly It's funny how we mark time with COVID, but since COVID, it really kind of took hold, and there's an explosion of new podcasts that are out there. And so people are finding that, you know, they've got a story to tell and people want to hear their story.
It's a great reminder for people who are listening, who are thinking, like, I just started my podcast a month ago and it doesn't have enough downloads, or it's not getting shared enough, or, you know, any of the things that we start to think about when we feel like things are not successful, is that it's not a short-term situation. It is much more of a long game in terms of building and building and building. And you hit the nail on the head with that, like, that phrase you just use, consistent and persistent, because those things have to happen in order for you to gain the traction, to gain the following. And you're right, like, you build, because I can remember releasing episodes where like 100 people would download, and I was like, oh, this is great. And this feels like a lot. And then all of a sudden, every week, you know, it builds on itself. And then once you work through like a certain amount of time, all of a sudden, it's like you said, exponential. And it's really wild how quickly that can happen once that happens. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone listening to just be patient with the process, because it does take time. Now, podcasting has obviously become a great way to connect with other people. You can share each other's stories. You can share each other's content. It's a great medium for marketing in general, and it's a great medium for information. And I do think that we're starting to see a lot more people enter the podcast space, which is great, especially like mental health entrepreneurial podcasts. And you've done a great job of highlighting people's stories and journeys and adversities over the years. And that's something I want to kind of shift into, is that you and I are both kind of having our own set of adversities and struggles and just things that we are dealing with behind the cameras. I think that gets lost a lot in the quote unquote, like, glamorous, ritzy facade of entrepreneurship, of like, everything's great. My feet are up on the beach all the time and I can work from anywhere. In reality, life happens and things are impactful.
Right.
I know when I was on your podcast, I talked a lot about my vocal surgery, my loss of my voice, some other stuff as well. And you shared a little bit about what's going on for you too. Do you have any desire to go into any of that right now, or share any of what you've been experiencing too?
Sure. You know, one of the things that, you know, it's a cliche, life happens, but one of the things in my story is that my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2010, and she has gone through just a lot of different treatments, and it metastasized to her brain and just all of the things that went with that. And currently we've started hospice care for her. So, you know, part of it is she's kind of beaten the odds over the years, but you shift into this different kind of mode. You know, as we were talking about before we started recording, Patrick asked me, well, how am I doing with all of this? And, you know, it's a hard one to answer. And that I think, you know, when you're dealing with a family member and having to act as a caregiver and all of those kinds of things, you go through different stages of grieving and just the grieving process. It's the term for it is anticipatory grief, and you go through that. But I think eventually, you know, as a survival technique, you really kind of create some emotional distance from it with internally. It's not that I don't love my wife and I don't care for her, obviously, but, you know, there's just, in order to continue to function, I can't just wallow in it. And so one of the things is you just kind of go into autopilot to some degree. But the other thing too is what I've learned, and it was hard for me to do this because I kind of went into it kicking and screaming was to, funny pun there, streaming, giving myself permission to pull back some and not go so hard with, you know, oh, I've got to get this content out, or I've got to create this next course, I've got to do this, and just that kind of that drive that we kind of associate with entrepreneurship. I've given myself permission to kind of back off from that. And I realized too, is being able to, and, you know, and I've talked about a lot of this with my own therapist, which again, those of us are, that are therapists, I would highly recommend getting your own therapist. But talking about with my own therapist is allowing myself to, just kind of back off, give myself the downtime that I need, and not be so driven with stuff has been a big help for me. And to remind myself that this is a season, I will move through this. Life will change. I have to accept that life is changing, and I'll move through this. And eventually, when I get to the fruition of where this is going, I will pick up and start again, maybe start over, maybe hit the reset button, reinvent stuff, which is really kind of what's happened, you know, when I think about how the practice of therapy has evolved since I started it. I've moved more from, you know, just doing, putting out a lot of courses and things like that as part of my content. But now I've moved more into this whole podcasting realm just because I find it fun. And it's there's a lot of great, get to talk to a lot of great people and get a lot of great content out there. And it's turned out to be a good path so far. So life happens. And I think the other thing too, and just thinking about how I'm doing with this, you know, what I've got, you know, a wife that's in the dying process. I've got a lot of great support in my community. I'm surrounded with a lot of great close friends. Personally, my faith is a big part of who I am. And so that's been a big support to me as well. I think everybody has to find their own way and kind of their own meaning through it all.
And now, pause for a word from our sponsors. Do you dread doing your notes every day? Do you feel like you can never get ahead of charting? Does this stuff just pile up at the end of the week and bog you down? If this is you, we have the answer. Freed AI listens, transcribes, and writes medical documentation for you. It's written in your style, and it's ready the moment the visit is over. Just imagine leaving the office at the same time as your last patient. Freed is HIPAA compliant, it's secure, and it takes less than 30 seconds to learn. Artificial intelligence cannot replace you, but it can do the administrative work that no one needs to be subjected to. Get back to doing what you love, helping your patients, and let Freed AI do the rest. Go to getfreed.ai and use code ATPP for your first month for free. That's getfreed.ai and use code ATPP. PP.
I'm just processing what you're saying. So I just want to say thank you for sharing that, first of all. Mm-hmm. I know it's a part of what you're experiencing. It's also vulnerable. And I know, but I just want to say thank you for sharing that. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Something I was going to probably say is just the season of being a small business owner and a human, and how complex that is, how when you started as a therapist in community mental health 20 years ago, I find it hard to imagine that you probably thought you'd be sitting here having a successful podcast, group practice, all the other things going on. I know I didn't. 2015 when I graduated. I think that my life experiences have also taken me into a different season. And I think it can be really challenging for those of us who are used to being really serial entrepreneurially. I don't think that's a word. Really serial entrepreneurs who are so used to creating and feel really inspired by creation. And then you hit this season where circumstance, health, whatever, mental health impacts you, and your course, your path just diverges, and you start to have to come to terms with acceptance around limitations, energy, capacity, protecting yourself in terms of what can I really show up and do? What feels fulfilling, what feels inspiring, what feels energizing versus what feels draining. And then reprioritizing your time in terms of what makes sense for you in terms of what you value. I know right now, obviously our situations are not the same, but having a second major throat surgery at the age of 36, losing my voice, having my vocal cords damaged in a profession where I talk a lot, and also being diagnosed as autistic in the same year, I have had to completely reshift how my business operates from course creation, program launches, event after event after event, to the recognition of like, that's not possible anymore. It may never be again. And that's okay. Like you said, giving myself permission to step back, permission to cancel plans that I've already scheduled because I just don't have it that day or I don't have the energy. Permission to say no to collaboration offers and attempts and opportunities, and permission to put energy and intention into the things that are sparking that joy. You mentioned podcasting being fun. Podcasting was not something on my radar. This November will be 2 years of hosting this podcast. It wasn't on my radar until I pressed play the first day and press record. So I think it's really important for those of you listening that to just embrace the seasonality of being a small business owner and just the acknowledgement that there is going to be this like ebb and flow process, and your energy and your capacity is just going to constantly be shifting based on life.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's, the other thing too is, for people that might be starting out, whether it's in private practice with a podcast or any of that sort of thing, anything new, is to remember not to compare your starting point to somebody else's middle or end point. Because I have to remind myself that too, because it's real easy to get stuck in this whole imposter syndrome when you see, oh, here's somebody over here. Here's Patrick. Look at how his podcast is growing. And I've been in the business for longer than he has, but his is growing faster than mine is. And so, getting caught up in that trap is not necessarily a helpful place to be, because, comparing apples to oranges is never helpful, other than just to say they're both fruit. So
that's good advice. I think that is such important advice, because I think it's just human nature where we get caught up a lot of the time in like both comparison traps, because we're like, I should be doing more. Look at, and I think social media plays a major role in that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just in your face all the time, especially if you surround yourself with other people who are doing similar things. So then it's like, all I see on my social media feed is people's podcasts or courses or retreats. And I'm like, and that would make me sometimes, when I don't have it, have the energy to do more, to be like, I'm not doing enough. Like I'm not keeping up. I'm not creating. I'm not launching another private practice course. I'm going to be forgotten about. What reality sets in is like, our situations are just not the same. And I think that is really indicative when we look at timelines, right? Like I always zooming out and doing like a timeline. My camera that tracks me doesn't like my hand motion. doing a timeline of just like starting point till now is really helpful for me. And I know it's really helpful for a lot of people to say like, okay, if I graduated in 2015, I went into community mental health, like you said you did as well, like a lot of us had. I assumed at that point in time that was the finish line, right? And I've said this before. Right. Then I left my job in 2017 and opened up a private practice. I thought that was the finish line. And then it was a coaching program. And then it was programs. And Then it was a Facebook group, a podcast, and retreats and group practices. But the thing about it is, every time I've started something new, it's allowed me to step back and reflect on what I've created up until that. But more importantly, the times where I really looked myself in the mirror and went, this is really hard. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to create again, or I don't know if I'll ever be able to find that drive again in terms of my passion. And I think it's about following your curiosity and your passion to kind of lead you to these different pathways where you can put your energy into new ventures. Because I don't have the vocal stamina, capacity, or energy to do coaching programs or coaching anymore. And I've had to just make peace with that. And when I first came out of surgery in October, my worst fear was losing my voice. And everyone said, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I kept saying, I think it is going to happen. And of course it did. And I was doing a lot of one-on-one coaching and coaching programs before that. And it was generating a lot of revenue. And I just had to make peace with the fact that I can't commit to doing that right now and maybe not ever again. And I think that's important for those of you who are listening to just giving, again, like Gordon said, permission to just be okay with that. There might be some grief around it at times, but also it allows you to put the energy that you do have into the things that are bringing you joy that can then potentially be monetized as well and become new pathways in your career.
Right, right. Yeah, I ditto to everything you said, Patrick, because where I started out and where I am now wasn't even on the radar at the time. And we just don't know where our paths are going to take us. And I think, the other thing too, you'll identify with this because I know you know enough about you, Patrick, know that you enjoy hiking like I do and backpacking and that kind of thing. And we're here where we live, we're fortunate that we've got this thing called the Appalachian Trail that runs right through close to us. And one of my bucket list things, and my brother and I kind of said we're going to do this. We're going to hike all the sections of the Appalachian Trail that go through North Carolina and Tennessee, where they're there. So we've got just a small part of that done. But anyway, I think about the metaphor of walking along the Appalachian Trail, and there's these white markers marks where the trail goes. And the thing about it is that if you get off the trail too far, you can get really lost, especially in the wilderness around here in the mountains and that sort of thing. But if that were to happen, really your only job at that point is to get yourself back on track, get yourself back on the trail. And so I think about just life happens. I mean, we've had a lot of bear sightings recently in our area. I know Asheville was inundated with them, but you know, if a bear comes after you, you do what you need to do, and you're probably not going to stay right on the trail. But once you're out of the woods, so to speak, with that, you get back on the trail and you continue on. And so I think about that in terms of, and it might be that you decide to get off the trail for a while and do something different. So, So I think that metaphor came to mind. And another one is for folks that may be familiar with a guy, he was a professor of comparative religions at Sarah Lawrence College back in the 70s and 80s. And his name was Joseph Campbell. And he's probably his best known works are on mythology and the meaning of myth. His best known book is called The Hero's Journey, I believe is what it is. But one of his quotes that I absolutely love is to simply say that, simply I'm paraphrasing, is follow your bliss. And when you do that, doors will open up for you where you didn't know there were doors. And so I think to what you're saying, Patrick, is you just keep at it and you find the stuff that really speaks to you and that you find meaning in.
Couldn't have said that better myself. That's one of my favorite books, by the way, to incorporate into Wise Men Business Days, The Hero's Journey. But I think that's so true, because when you follow that, right, that bliss, that passion, that excitement, your brain starts to become more creative. So you may be facing these roadblocks, you may be facing these barriers, or thinking like, I don't really know what else I can do, or what else I could offer or create, or what inspires me. But once you find it, it's like all of those ideas start coming. All of your brain starts working. It gets online almost. So I agree 100%. And I, you know, since you're in the mood for metaphors, I always think about entrepreneurship and life as like just driving down a highway and then getting off at an exit. And sometimes you have to reroute. Sometimes you have to make a U-turn. Sometimes you need a pit stop. Sometimes you need a stranger to help change your tire, but nevertheless, you keep driving. And I think that there's no finish line here. It's just different chapters, different places of excitement, different places to spend your time, energy, and resources. And there are going to be struggles because life is full of them. Mm-hmm. And just being persistent and consistent when you can be, and giving yourself permission to take the foot off the gas when you can't be, and not to beat yourself up too much when you just don't have the energy, the capacity, the focus, or the time.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that comes to mind too, and I think for those of us in this profession of working with clients, and, you know, a thing that comes up a lot is, you know, people just struggling with anxiety. And I think anxiety is that one kind of experience that's underneath that drives a lot of us. And I think one of the things that I like to say is anxiety has a way of tricking us into thinking we can't handle things. But the truth of the matter is most of us have what we need to be able to handle whatever is thrown to us. It might not be pretty, it might be painful, it might be messy, but we can handle it. I mean, it's kind of another terrible metaphor is just kind of like if you can think of, a toilet that's clogged up and it's overflowing. Well, the only thing you can do at that point is get in there and get messy and you take care of it. And, either that or run away. But, most of the time we don't have that choice, but we handle it, and it's not fun. It's not pretty. It's not good to have to do, but we handle it.
I like that. And that's very true. You know, it's very, very true. And I think that's good advice. And I hope everyone listening can feel validated and supported if you are going through some season of life right now and just questioning all the things existentially that come up, because I know they do. And I really just appreciate you coming on here and sharing some of your story and offering so many great tips and support for our listeners.
Well, thanks, Patrick. I love having these conversations. And I think, one of the things that's sometimes hard to do, but I think it's a necessity in being able to make it through the hard times, is being able to allow ourselves to be vulnerable.
I agree 100%. And maybe there's just a reason that we waited so long to record together on each other's podcasts. Yes. It was just timing and life circumstance. So,
right, right.
Yeah. Please tell the audience where they can find everything you've got going on, because you have a lot of wonderful resources.
Oh, well, thanks. So probably the place that I'm most known for is just simply go to the website practiceoftherapy.com, and you can find links to all my, the podcasting stuff, that sort of thing. And also for folks that want to find other great podcasts just like this one, is to go to psychcraftnetwork.com. And we have a great group of podcasters that make up this little network. I think we're up to 15 different podcasts now. And so, and we have other people that are joining. And if you're listening to this and you have your own podcast or are interested in starting a podcast, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be glad to help you get started and point you in the right direction.
Love it. Thank you so much for the time, Gordon, and all of Gordon's information and links will be in the show notes so that you have easy access to those as well. They're wonderful resources, and I highly recommend checking them out.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And to everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, new episodes are out every single Saturday on all major platforms, YouTube. Like, download, subscribe, and share. Doubt yourself. Do it anyway. See you next week.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Heiler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.